Hi, I'm Kim, and welcome to the first Coffee with Kim episode. I'm very excited to be speaking with you all. Thank you for joining me here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a registered nutritionist, a master NLP practitioner, and I specialize in helping women break free from unhelpful eating patterns, nourish themselves with confidence, and form a positive relationship with food and their body, all while forming a lifestyle they love and eating food that they actually enjoy. And we achieve this by combining holistic non-diet nutrition with what I call transformational health coaching, and that's the NLP part. So, like I say, what we're going to talk about today is this question that I get asked all the time, and it's what actually led me to go and do NLP training, which is, why do we still do things that we know aren't good for us, even though we know that they're not good for us? You see, I've noticed a lot of people feel really frustrated and stuck because despite having all the nutrition information, they still feel like they wind up doing the same things. So it does lead us to this magic question: why do we do what we do when we know what we know? And maybe you can think about this for yourself. Maybe you've gone to see a nutritionist, or you've read stuff online and you've learned about all these things that are really good for you. You know deep down that they would really help, and maybe you can start these things for, you know, a few days, but then you still find yourself falling back into old patterns that you know don't serve you. That can be really, really frustrating. And what you're going to learn today is some of the logical reasons as to why it is actually quite difficult sometimes to just have a goal and just stick to it. And a lot of this is based on what's going on in our minds. So what we're going to be learning today is some crucial mistakes that people make when they are setting themselves goals, which ends up acting as a barrier to change. We're going to be looking at how your values can create this inner conflict around food choices and makes food decisions actually really difficult. And we're also going to be looking at the power of habit formation, like why we need to learn how to reprogram our mind so we can ditch the habits that don't serve us and create new ones that do. So to give you a bit of context, I'm going to tell you a bit more of the story, the background. So when I became a qualified nutritionist, I worked mostly as a nutrition consultant, and my main job was providing information for clients around their food, helping them understand how food was impacting their body. So it was very, very knowledge-based. You could say I was really, the main role was clearing people's confusion around what they should be eating, and this is still a huge part of what I do today. But the problem was that I noticed that just because people got given the right knowledge, it didn't mean that they were always implementing it, and that was actually causing a lot of frustration for them. So I was working with women who really wanted to get back to their healthiest body, women who were struggling with things like gut and hormonal issues, eating patterns like binge eating or emotional eating, and unhelpful habits like drinking too much alcohol during the week. We'd talk about the science behind why their eating patterns weren't helping them to feel good and get back to their healthiest body. I noticed that these clients were so motivated to make these changes, and we'd agree on all the little changes, and they all seemed realistic at the time. But then after a month or so, they'd still come back and say, I don't know why, but I've still fallen back into these old patterns. And so it really led me to dive deeper, because I didn't want my clients sitting there thinking that there was something wrong with their willpower. And I really believe that we shouldn't have to rely on willpower, which is a very limited resource, might I add. We shouldn't have to rely on willpower to feel healthy in our bodies and to make eating decisions that feel good to us. And so I really delved into where I could learn more about how our brains impact what we do. And then I came across NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming, which essentially helps you understand how we can reprogram our minds and just understand, like, it literally does teach you, like, why we do what we do at, like, from, like, a brain-based level. And I'm so excited to be able to pass this information on, because what I learned is that there is these logical reasons as to why it's difficult to just choose a new habit and create it and then stick to it and it be easy. Because there's a lot more going on with us. And just because you're really motivated to do something and you've got a good reason to do it, say in terms of your health goals, it doesn't mean that you're just going to go do it. So let's look at these three things. So there's many, many reasons, but I'm just going to cover what I think are three really big ones that I'm sure most of you will be able to resonate with. So this first one is that one of the biggest mistakes people make is they don't set their goals in the right direction. Okay, so let me explain. So what most of us do when we're trying to think about what we want to change, we'll usually say, well, I don't want this, or I want to stop doing this, or I want to lose this. So let's talk about it in the context of eating patterns and nutrition. So say a lot of women might say, I want to stop binge eating, or I want to stop drinking alcohol. And when we set a goal like this, it's not as effective because your brain it registers what you don't want, but we don't know where we're going. So think about it in this way. When you step out of the airport and you jump into the taxi and the taxi driver says, where do you want to go? You wouldn't say, well, I don't want to go to the airport. Because if you did, he'd say, yeah, I get that. Where do you want to go? And you'd eventually be like, oh, well, yes, obviously I need to go to this hotel, or I want to go here. And then off you can go and you can get in that direction. And the same goes with when we're setting like simple goals, like I want to, you know, say you do want to stop drinking. What we really need to do, and you can do this yourself, is just check that you know what that looks like. What is the vision afterwards? So for example, you might say, well, my towards goal for not drinking is what I want to be doing instead is, say, pouring a nice glass of kombucha most nights of the week. We need to know what you want instead. Even something like, I want to lose weight. This is I've learned over many years that having just like a weight loss goal without any towards factor, it's very unusual for it to work long term because it's just simply, it's like I say, you don't know where you're going. So with weight loss, you still want to say, okay, well, what will I gain instead? If I lose weight, what am I gaining from this? So like I say, most of us will be really clear on what we don't want. What not many people are clear on is exactly what they do want. And even if you think you've got it, it's worth actually writing it down so you can see it clear on paper, you can see your vision. Okay, the next mistake people make with their goals is they don't do what I call an ecology check. So they'll feel really motivated when they first set it and be like, oh, I'm just not going to drink, I'm not going to have no sugar. And they say it in such a definite way that seems like they're not going to have any at all, without factoring in that there may be certain situations where that goal isn't going to work for them. So maybe you do want to reduce your sugar intake, maybe you want to reduce your alcohol intake, but there also may be certain situations where, or say, you know, takeaways, where you want to be able to have those things. So you may say, well, I want to reduce my sugar, but I'm going to say, for my ecology, I want to be able to have a piece of cake on my daughter's birthday. But if you don't do that ecology check, then what happens is you set this kind of definite goal in your head. These events come up that also are important to you. We're going to go into values very soon. You find that you end up having the sugar because you haven't factored in that this situation was really important to you. You have the thing, and then in your mind you're like, oh, damn, I've failed, I've stuffed up, because my goal was to have none. So we've got to be super, super careful with food and beverages, because they are such a huge part of our life. Food and beverage isn't just about fuel. I mean, it is for some people, but for most of us, there's a lot more meanings attached to it, and so we really need to be honest with ourselves and explore how the deeper meanings that food have in our lives. The social meaning, the comfort meaning, the the pleasure, like it's as you probably can imagine, it's all sorts of things, right? Oh, special events like Christmases and Easters, and it's okay if these things are important to you too. And that kind of leads me into this next concept of value clashes. So one of the biggest reasons why we will find ourselves doing things that don't align with our health is because it's clashing with another value. So if you're somebody who has sought help from a nutritionist, or you've Googled like how to eat healthy, if you've done any sort of attempt to learn more about your health, clearly you're somebody who values health, or maybe wellness is a better word, or maybe it's to do with longevity. Maybe it's even you just value having a healthy looking body. But there's some sort of like health and wellness value in there, right? And that's great, you know, and we don't want to get rid of that. A lot of people actually wish that their health value was even stronger. And I'm just going to quickly interject here. I'd also invite everybody to check in with themselves and to see what word does align. So society will kind of tell us that we should value our health, we should value our wellness. And sometimes it's good to do that check. Is it something that you personally value, or is it something that you think that you should value? And even just knowing that you're focusing on your health for you, not for society, not for your parents, can also be quite transformational when it comes to you starting to follow through on your health attempts. So that's slightly off the main topic here, but I just wanted to throw that in while we're talking about that. So how do value clashes stop us doing things that we want to do? Well, here's a classic example. On one part of you really values your healthy eating patterns. Maybe this health part of you is the part that's like, yeah, you know, kombucha's all the way, zero wines. or the part that's like, zero gluten. But then there may be another part of you that perhaps values balance, that perhaps values socializing, or like special occasions. Perhaps there's a part of you that is kind of like your spontaneous fun side. And maybe that spontaneous fun side of you is really helpful, and you love that part of you in many other ways. And so you might set a goal of having no sugar or alcohol or gluten, but then you go to a social event and all of a sudden you've got this inner conflict happening. You've got one part of you saying, you know, don't do this, you've got this goal, and the other part of you saying, yeah, but it feels like a nice occasion and I enjoy this and it's important to me. Here we have what I call a value clash. And we have a whole lot of these. Basically, every time you feel like you've got this inner conflict going, there's usually like two parts happening. So I'm just giving you one example, but I hope that already can give you some comfort that you're not going crazy, and we don't need to be annoyed or angry at either of these parts, okay? Because they're just things that are important to you. And what I teach my clients, we could almost say my students, the work that we do is we figure out all the different clashes that are happening. It's not, you can say it's values, but we also look at different like personality traits. So say you may have a perfectionist part of you, you may have like a high achieving part of you, and we really need to get these parts on board. And it's not about getting angry at either side, it's about finding some sort of middle ground. Well, that's one strategy. We take it a lot deeper by then looking at by looking at things like the dialogue from the different parts and so on, but that's for another session. Session? What did I say? Another episode. Okay. So the third thing that causes us to still do what we, you know, do things that we know aren't good for us, even though we know that they're not, is habits. So if you have developed an ingrained habit, what this means is you've basically programmed your mind to act and react in a certain way, which means it'll literally be automatic unless you are super mindful of it. So a lot of the time we're doing things automatically. So your brain is really smart and it's trying to remove you having to think about lots of different things, because there's so many different decisions we have to make every day. So for example, driving a car, you've probably found that you can now very easily, almost automatically, walk into your car, close the door and drive, and you're now driving to the point where you're not consciously thinking every time you need to put the accelerator on or put the brake on or turn. All these kind of movements just start happening naturally, right? It's almost just automatic. So that's like your subconscious reprogramming. Your brain's like, oh, I know how to do this. Like, it almost puts you into autopilot. And that can happen with your eating patterns too. So if you've taught your brain that at like 4 o'clock, as soon as I feel tired, so maybe like tiredness is your trigger, or as soon as you feel stressed, trigger. If you've taught your brain that once that trigger happens, the solution is to eat a pack of biscuits, what will happen over time is every time you have that trigger, it'll stop being a conscious decision of, oh, what should I do to fix this stress and trigger? Have biscuits. You'll literally find yourself feeling tired or stressed, and just next minute you're like in front of the pantry and you're like, how did I even get here? And then we usually get frustrated at ourselves, right? But that is a type of programming that has happened, and the longer it's happened, the more difficult it can be to break. So habits that have been there for a long period of time do require, from my experience so far working with people on this, do require a lot more mindfulness in the early stages. But the good news is, in the same way that we can create a habit, we can also undo it and create new ones. So habits can be like the bane of your life, or they can be a life savior. So we can have habits that don't serve us, like automatically reaching for processed food every time we get stressed, or we can develop good habits. And a good healthy habit could be a habit where as soon as your alarm goes off in the morning, you get up and have a glass of water. Imagine if that was just an automation, something that you didn't have to think about. I'm really anti getting people to come up with these massive like health to-do lists every day. I think we want to try and get away from to-do lists. What we want to do is create as many automations as possible. And we do that through smart habit forming. And the cool thing is just because you've had a habit that has lasted, say, 10, 20 years, habits can be, you can reprogram them pretty quickly. So I've found that, well, from what my clients have told me, even in just 2 to 3 months, we've been able to reprogram, add new habits in that now become automatic. And that's quite a cool point that when one of my favorite moments in like a follow-up is when, it's not just when my clients are saying like, oh, I've done this, I managed to do this today, or it's been a really good week for my exercise. I'll always ask, well, awesome. And have you had to be extra mindful of that? Or is that just coming naturally now? Is that just feeling like automatic? And it's really cool when it's like, oh, wow, like I wasn't consciously thinking of that. That's kind of what we want to get to. We want to get to the point where you're not having to consciously think of this big list of to-dos. Okay, so those are my three. I'm just going to read them out again. Three reasons why we do things that we know aren't good for us, despite our best intentions, is one, we haven't set our goals in the right direction. Number two, we're experiencing a value clash. And number three, we've got just an ingrained habit and we just need to reprogram our minds. Okay, so I hope that something in here has resonated with you. I'd love to know in the comments if you found this helpful, and I will see you next episode. All right, bye guys.